B-Pod Studios.
Station. Sports Hub Headlines.
The Bruins had last night off, but they'll be back at work tonight at home against Detroit. Judd Surratt and Bob Beers have the pregame at 6:30 and the faceoff at 7 here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. The Bruins will be without Brad Marchand, who is suspended for 3 games for slew-footing Vancouver defenseman Oliver Ekman-Larsson Sunday night. And before the ruling came down, Bruce Cassidy did not expect this.
Yeah, I guess there was nothing called in the game. I mean, they do revisit certain incidents. The precedent, for the most part, this year has been a fine if they feel that's deserving of it. So I guess we'll see what happens there.
TSN in Canada is also reporting that Jake DeBrusk has asked for a trade over the last weekend, and the team is now in the process of seeing whether or not they can accommodate him. The Celtics' Enes Kanter officially became a U.S. citizen yesterday and changed his name officially to Enes Kanter Freedom. He and the Green play Philadelphia at TD Garden tomorrow night. Red Sox have been mostly quiet in free agency, but there has been a lot of movement in Major League Baseball over the last day or two. Overnight, Detroit closed in on signing free agent infielder Javi Baez. It is reportedly a 6-year deal. Also, Texas has signed former Dodgers shortstop Corey Seager to a 10-year, $325 million contract, and the Mets have signed Max Scherzer to a 3-year, $130 million deal. Another massive college football shakeup last night. Notre Dame head coach Brian Kelly has left to take over at LSU. And finally, the New England Revolution will play a playoff game tonight at home against New York City FC. The winner goes to the Eastern Conference Final. You can listen in at 7:30 over on Rock 92.9. Sports Hub headlines are brought to you by IBEW Local 103 and NECA, the Power Professionals. Power your next project or career with trained electricians and technicians of IBEW Local 103 and NECA. Visit the 103advantage.com. I'm John Wallach of Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update at 6:30.
Football is more than the game. The game. Free agency. The draft. Training camp. And all the play-by-play.
The pylon with a dive. Touchdown, Patriots!
And no one covers it like we do. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Fred, hello!
Hey, guys.
Hello!
Hey.
I don't think you're supposed to be taking walks from the beach.
Bop-doo-zop.
Opinions is a rectum.
Let's go, Red Sox!
Season 4, your mom's a whore.
Pizza time.
Hit me like a bow.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
I have 4 recliners. He has 3.
Hello! Welcome to the show.
Dude, it's damn hard. Let's go.
Well, stop, man. That's taking some coaching job, man.
Youngster, nicely done, bud. Nicely done. Likewise.
Freak show. What's up,
guys? There you go, bro.
That was great.
Nice job, brother. Nice job. Nice job, bud. Hunt, appreciate you, man.
Can we get him to get a little more enthusiasm? He's too quiet.
All right, fellas, that's what we thought it was going to be right there. Good job of grinding it out. Shut out in the second half. All right, so once again, no turnovers. We tried the percentage of winning up there. 4 turnovers on defense, so. Where is my man? Where's KB? Good fundamentals. Just good fundamentals. We need everybody ready to go. We need everybody's best on Monday night in Buffalo. We're going to need that, all right? It's a good win. They were what we thought it would be. Mentally and physically tough. They battled us all the way, all right? And just out-executed them. So, again, there's going to be games like that. That's what it's going to be. So it's a nice job today. Well, let's get ready to go Monday night. Good job, man. Good job.
How do we feel?
Wow. That is the first video in, well, that I remember that doesn't end with a how do we feel from Slater. I'm thinking that one, too hot for television.
Yeah. You think Slater dropped some F-bombs?
How do we feel about these mother effing sons of bitches?
I'm thinking he went Andrew Dice Clay on him.
Wow.
Hickory dickory dock, how do we feel about, you know, what on my, hey, how, who?
Just, I think that was the game that made him snap. They didn't want to put that part on the family-friendly New England Patriots Twitter feed, so they unfortunately left Slater on the cutting room floor.
I hope everything's okay with Slater.
I hope so, too.
If he got hurt, that makes all the sense in the world. He couldn't break him down.
Maybe he had an experiment going in the other room.
Oh, yes.
Maybe he had to rush to the Bunsen burners, the Bunsen burners!
That's right. They don't bring those on the road. That game was at home, so it
makes sense. Has his laboratory at home.
Yeah.
Comes with being a multiple-time captain.
Although all of them giddy. Like, even Bill Belichick, jokey and giddy with Kendrick Bourne. He was, like, doing a little stiff arm with him, and he made him laugh. And
looked natural.
Yeah. And then you had, he really does look like Hyde the Paint Harold out there. Just somebody who just faking it till he makes it. Just, yeah, having a great time. It's a party.
Yeah.
And then there's, Robert Kraft, who's out there as well, and he's having himself a hell of a time, too. He's like, can somebody come this guy? Why don't you be a little happy? I'm being sarcastic.
My sarcasm is dry humor.
Bledsoe even gave Mac Jones a youngster in that clip.
Oh, Bledsoe with that dumb wine. Oh, with his wine. I mean, he's everywhere with that wine. During the game with his wine, he's just with that wine everywhere.
He is a marketing genius.
Yeah, he's a genius. He's a real genius. Everyone, I don't know anyone who doesn't have 10 tons of Bledsoe wine.
But everybody knows he has it. Everybody knows that he has a vineyard.
Which makes me not ever, ever, ever want to buy it. Is that he just insists upon it. Like, all right, dude, you gotta take a break. Take a break occasionally. He was gingerly putting it to his lips. Mm.
Even Sammy Hagar didn't walk around talking about his Cabo Wabo tequila.
No, he just let it, him and Supermensch just let it ride and then sold it off for a massive profit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Sammy just, every time you saw Chickenfoot, Sammy wasn't out there with a big bottle of Cabo Wabo.
No, he
was
not.
And who do you think has made more money off their wares?
Well, it would definitely be Sammy Hagar.
I mean, even Clooney, who made like $100 million or something off his tequila.
I think it's more than $100 million. I think he made almost $500 million or something crazy like that.
Well, regardless, it wasn't like, he was shoving that in your face every 10 seconds. There's a time and a place for everything. Boy, this chair is really... This chair is falling apart in ways that speak to someone's mental illness. And it's not mine. There's like chunks from the armrest missing, and that doesn't come from come from just wear and tear. That comes from obsessive
it's
picking.
Now, does anybody sit in that chair other than you? Do they switch it out?
Come on, dude, yeah, you know the chairs are all over the place. I don't sit it. I mean, I don't pick at the arms of it. I tell you, if I did, I wouldn't have brought it up if I did. But I looked at this thing today, and I'm like, this thing's falling apart. And I'm like, this isn't natural wear and tear. This is the pickings of someone with severe OCD or severe neurological disorders.
By the way, Clooney's company made $1 billion on that sale. It was $700 million in cash up front and $300 million more if sales hit targets over the next decade. And Casamigos is now one of the biggest brands on the market. So I guarantee we made that. So $1 billion. His company ended up making for that.
Yeah. Man. I mean, he wasn't trotting that around everywhere. So, I mean, where's Bledsoe's big buyout? When can he put the wine bottle down? He probably had a bottle of wine with him in the locker room.
He's right walking around like
just
that.
Just like, would anyone get? No. $20. All right. We are the Touch and Rich radio program. We are in the Town Fair Tire Studio. 617-779-0985 is the telephone number. I will not be here tomorrow as I will be getting the old tube up the old Buttarooty.
Oh, that's tomorrow? Okay.
That is tomorrow. It's the colonoscopy. But they say not to eat from the time I got up today until the procedure, which I'm not doing that.
Well, what is there anything you can eat that won't screw things up?
Jell-O and chicken broth. But I got to figure 24 hours. The procedure's at 2. I got to figure that if I eat it 11:30, that's not going to gum up the works, because what if you slept till 11:30? I don't know. If I figure that, you drink all the diarrhea stuff. I mean, things are coming out anyway. I'm not getting up at 4 in the morning and then not eating again until 6 o'clock tomorrow night.
So Wow. 24 hours is what they recommend.
No, no. I said 24 hours is what I'm saying I'm doing.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's probably going to be more like 26 hours, but they say from the time you get up in the morning the day before not to eat. And I'm not doing that. I'm not doing this show and then not eating.
I don't know how you can't. I don't know how you can do that. I mean, not eating for 24 straight hours is a lot to ask somebody, or more than 24 hours. That's a lot. I mean,
it would be 36 hours. It would be more than that. It would be more than 30. It would be like 40 hours, 36 hours.
Well, yeah. I mean, if it's dinner two nights ago.
I ate dinner at 5:30.
Yeah, it'd be like 40 hours.
Yeah, like 40 hours. I'm not eating for 40 hours.
Yeah, that doesn't sound sustainable.
No, that sounds stupid. So I'll eat when I get home, and then I'll fast. But yeah, it's a whole scene. But now it's only two bottles of stuff. It's one at 7 o'clock tonight and one tomorrow morning.
Does it still taste gross?
I don't know. I haven't had it.
Okay.
But that's lower than it usually is.
Well,
when I had it, it was not like 16,
I had like a gallon.
Yeah, 16 years ago or 11 years ago I got it, and it was like eight bottles of this clear liquid, eight like pint bottles of it, and now it's two pint bottles.
I had a gallon. It was about a gallon, and it was 5 years ago, and it was disgusting.
Well, this stuff just must be just like diarrhea in a bottle. This stuff must just be like, how do you do? I mean, if it's only two bottles and it used to be a gallon.
Yeah, that's like Olympic-ac.
Yeah, I know. It's like, they're probably 8 ounce bottles. They're not even pints. They're probably 8 ounce bottles.
Oh, wow.
And like, I mean, I guess it just, your stomach just says, how do you do? So starting at 7 o'clock at night tonight, I'm just going to be like, it's so funny. He's like, someone's like, you going into work tomorrow? Like, yeah, I'm going to go into work tomorrow. It's going to be great. Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun for everybody. The show will go swimmingly. They suggest that. They say go into work the day of the procedure just to, so you're blasting every 5 seconds.
Jeez.
So tonight will be interesting. Tonight will be a show. Yeah. Hopefully I don't wake up during the procedure like I did the last time. When they told me that it was almost over, and it was almost over, it was like they were pulling it out.
Wow! I
don't know what it is, because like even like not drinking and all that stuff, and like even when I had the dental procedure, I woke up during it. So I don't know if there's something in me in my constitution that uh-huh. forces it.
Wow!
I mean, I am 6'2", 225, 220, so maybe my size. But then again, they got to put down people way bigger than me. So, I don't know.
Are you going to leave the audio recorder running so you could possibly sue them for $1 million that guy won because they made fun of his penis?
Yeah, there was a guy who got a colonoscopy and ran a tape recorder during it. And I think it was a tape recorder because I don't know if phones taped audio back then.
I think it was just at the beginning of it. I think because he wanted to do a memo. He said the reason he kept it running was in case he was out of it, he'd be able to remember the instructions that they gave him.
Very, very, very precise instructions.
That they don't hand you also a notepad's worth of paper.
I mean, I got to imagine that there is, from my recollection, it was really a calculus problem what to do the next day. But so he let this thing run, and they were making fun of how small his penis was. Mm-hmm. And then he turned around and sued him. And to that, I would say, it's none of your business what someone says if you're asleep. It's none of your business. I know I don't want to know what people say. At my age now, I really just don't want to know. I don't want to know. Because it's just going to not be good. Like, it's not like they're going to say. It's going to be either be most likely 99% exceptionally boring and just fast-forwarding through audio.
Yeah.
Or, like, looking for, like, little, like, where the audio visibly, you can see that someone's talking.
Sure.
And 99% it would just be, like, blah, 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 blah. And then, you know, or small talk. And then the other side of it is they make fun of me. And why would I want to hear that? I get enough of that on the internet. I don't need it from the doctors. Yeah, like, that whole fantasy about being able to, like, you know, tape people, like, when you were out of the room.
It's best you don't know.
Yeah, I'm old enough now where I just, like, why would I want to know that?
So, apparently, he won $500,000.
It's not worth it.
I mean, he listened to the recording on the way home. He discovered that he recorded the entire examination. He said that one of the doctors recorded saying to the patient, quote, after 5 minutes of talking to you in pre-op, I wanted to punch you in the face and man you up a little bit. When the medical assistant noted that the man had a rash, the anesthesiologist warned her not to touch it, saying she might get, quote, some syphilis on your arm or something, and then added, it's probably tuberculosis in the penis, so you'll be all right. And then it says the lawsuit states that recording captured one of the doctors mocking the amount of anesthetic needed to sedate the man. Commented that another doctor that they both knew, quote, would eat him for lunch. All right, because he was a fat dude. He was awarded $100,000 for defamation, $50,000 each for the comments about the man having syphilis and tuberculosis, and $200,000 for medical malpractice, as well as $200,000 in punitive damages.
Well, good for him to publicly... What's the guy's name that sued?
His name... You know what it says? A Virginia man.
Well, it's definitely out there for public consumption. So he took a conversation between two or three people and broadcast it on the radio. So good for him. If he was so ashamed of it. He's lucky I wasn't on that jury. We would deliberate for 5 seconds. And I'd be like, no. If the guy was... So if you're asleep in a room... And people are like, wow, like, think about that. Like, say you were asleep in a room and you were traveling with people. Say you were in this, like, massive loft apartment or something. Mm-hmm. And you went to sleep, like, in the bed. And then, you know, people were taping you and they talked crap about you and you were asleep. So, like, that's punitive damages. They defamed me.
Well, I find it very shocking that someone who decided to record these people while he was out... would be someone that one of the doctors wanted to punch in the face when they first met him.
Right. But he wanted to make sure...
Seems completely out of character.
He wanted to make sure he had... And especially if he's telling the truth, and he wanted to make sure he had all the information. Like, what a tryhard loser. Like, I got to have all the information. All the information for when it's over.
Ooh, I have the recording we can play later.
Oh, good. Oh, let's listen to that.
Wow, how about that? So, Fred, I'll play that so you have something to look forward to later on tomorrow.
Believe me, they can tell, they can make fun of me all they want.
This is great.
Have a field day.
That's the other thing,
too. If I don't hear it, that's fine.
Since it's evidence, it was public record, so I will send that to you, Mike, and maybe later on we'll listen to these doctors trashing this gentleman and while he is passed out getting a colonoscopy.
Just get it over with.
That's the only thing.
If them having a nice chat and making fun at my expense gets the procedure over quicker, that's okay with me.
It was the most unbelievably unbelievable non-event in that I ended up going in. They put something in my arm, and I don't even remember any moment between when they put it in my arm and when I woke up. It just seemed like a wrinkle in time.
Yes.
It was like, you're going down, okay, you're all done, and I don't remember anything.
That's
perfect.
That doesn't work like that with me, but whatever. It certainly will put me in twilight, but I guarantee you that I guarantee you that I like am half awake during a part of it. But what are you going to do?
Yeah.
What are you going to do? You know, you go around this big old orb once.
So you woke up and you saw them?
No, I didn't see. I was still out of it, but I remember how it felt.
Oh,
and
okay.
And I was like, more drugs. Like, I'm awake. And the guy's like, started chuckling. And he's like, don't worry about it. We're almost done. He's like, we're pretty much done. And I'm like, okay. And then it might have been like, I mean, my perception of, I mean, I still was under a lot of anesthesia,
yeah.
But like it might have been like 30 seconds, a minute.
Uh-huh.
And like, it wasn't like, oh, it was like, I was like, ooh, it was like, where have you been all my life? Because it was in probably at that point only like a foot in.
Oh, boy.
So, like, it's nothing like I haven't done sober. All right, Rich, what's coming up? I mean, there is so much going on. I mean, I know we don't talk about college athletics, but, I mean, there is a lot going on with that. But what are we going to talk about?
Let's talk about the local hockey team. They got two big punches in the gut yesterday, and one of them has been a long time coming.
Yep. And LSU is going to go to Brian Kelly, who's a terrible person. Not a good guy. But in my opinion. But we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
What they say in the morning, you'll be talking about all day.
This is a dumb conversation, but, you know, why the hell not? That's what we do.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed with Toucher and Rich.
Well, before we get to what happened last night, it's been forever since we've talked to one Rock and Roll Mike. Rock and Roll Mike, hello.
Rock and Roll Mike!
Rock and Roll Mike, what have you been up to? It's been like since before COVID. It's been 2 years since we talked to you.
It's fucking great.
Okay, all right. Sorry.
What happened to the phone? Go ahead. Yeah, Rock and Roll Mike, go ahead.
It's been fucking great.
Okay, all right. That's two dumps in, all right, in five seconds.
Let's put him on hold.
Yeah, put him on hold.
Nick, tell him he can't swear. He said the F word. No, it has
zero.
Changed.
He
used to not swear like that. He said four words, and two of them were the F bomb.
It's been effing great. And then he said it's been
effing. And then effing, yeah.
I just remember him coming in here, and that was what he did. He dropped F bomb after F bomb.
One of my biggest regrets is that we had. The one time we had Guy from Machine in is we had Rock and Roll Mike in here as well. Right.
But that was a weird timing. Like, that wasn't intentional. Yeah. Remember, Guy from Machine was really late or something that day. And he was supposed to come in at like 7. And I think Rock and Roll Mike was here at 9. And Guy from Machine showed up at 9:30. And it just was... Guy from Machine didn't know what he was walking into.
No.
And to be quite honest, I don't think I even wanted to be in the studio anymore with Rock and Roll Mike. It was chaos.
Unless he was going to sing Creatures of the Night, everyone's favorite Kiss song. Is the dump back up? Let me know, because I got to...
Give me about 10 seconds here.
All right.
10 seconds, we'll be able to get back on the phone with Rock and Roll Mike.
How many more strikes?
We'll have one.
We'll be good for one.
One dump. Okay.
Just one more strike.
All right.
Here we go. Rock and Roll Mike, hello.
All right, guys. Woo! You guys are awesome. Nice to talk to you guys. Yeah, it was a crazy, crazy night. Crazy situations, everything going on. I was down Fenway, but I got in my brain. I got insane. More insane, I should say. Yeah.
So have you been working on any musical projects? You say you were down at Fenway.
Yeah, I was down Fenway, man, but I just, my brain, I lost my last name track. I didn't know which way to go.
now, you were, last time we talked to you, working on your musical opus called Hot Balls.
I was. And everything got all messed up, unfortunately, for everybody. That's very unfortunate. Very unfortunate. So everything got on pause. It was terrible.
So is Hot Balls still unfinished?
Hot Balls is still unfinished. But my ball is still hot. It's very hot.
What's going on in the background there? What's going on in the background over there?
They're very hot. I'm hanging out with somebody who's not feeling quite well.
All right,
but that's okay.
That's okay.
That's a lot of vodka, but that's all right. It happens.
Yeah, you guys were boozing and creating last night.
Well, you know, I gotta do what I gotta do, but you know, it's a roll of the dice. I was at 7-Eleven. Roll the dice. 7-Eleven. That's what I got to do. 7 or 11.
That's right, baby.
But, you know, the songs, man, it's like Chinese democracy. Guns N' Roses, man. That's what it's about.
It's taken you a long time. It's like it took Guns N' Roses to do Chinese democracy.
Yeah, it's going to take me like 10 years, man. But... It's rock and roll, man.
If people want to see you perform, like, is there, like, where can people see you perform?
Right down, right on Lansdowne Street, you know.
All right, so you're back there.
I'm back on Lansdowne Street, Fenway Park, oh yeah!
But nothing's going on at Fenway Park right now. It's the off-season.
I got the House of Blues.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's, I mean, he's playing the House of Blues.
We got me, yeah. Man, we just had the Dinosaur Juniors and all with dinosaurs and everything going on.
Dinosaur.
I might see you tomorrow night. That's right. I think I'm going to the House of Blues tomorrow night. I might actually see you down there.
Are you?
Yeah.
I'll be there.
All right.
I'm going to see you tomorrow night.
I'm going to be
You guys are awesome. Wallach, where's Mike Hart? Nick, Come on, which bird?
Can you leave us a little bit with a little bit of Creatures of the Night?
Come on. Living in the darkness, running from the day, hiding from tomorrow, never let the sun make you my whistle. Living in the
dark. He's going to whistle.
Yeah, creatures.
All right, Rock and Roll Mike, don't be a stranger.
Lansdowne Street, I'm back.
All right, good to hear from you.
I love you guys. You guys are rock and roll. You're awesome. 98.5 Sports Hub Rocks.
All right, thank you, Rock and Roll Mike.
You're the best rock and roll.
Thanks, Mike.
Rock and Roll Mike. That's good. Good. All right.
I just love that he knows the words to Creatures of the Night. Like a Kiss, the Kiss album that no one ever owned. It's not even The Elder, which was like considered really crappy. This is Creatures of the Night is just one that no one owned. It was like an Eric Carr, like Ace was like not in the band but was still on the cover. Creatures of the Night, that's fantastic.
I would have bet $1 billion that he was going to swear again after we told him not to. About that?
He's a professional.
He's a true professional. Came on here and said, I just like, where's Bird?
And there was a guy moaning in the background.
Well, that's his backup singer.
Yeah, they're just moaning in the background.
I mean, listen, it's better than Ace did.
What if he called us from, like, a murder scene?
Well, that would not be good if he uses that.
Yeah, we would be like, oh, boy. Yeah. You know, you were talking to Rock and Roll Mike while someone was slowly dying in the background.
There's nothing better than somebody who's feeling a little under the weather, as he was saying, than having someone screaming next to you with a whistle.
But let's hear my fight. Well, I have a whistle
at 6 a.m.
I want to know who let him indoors. This is the question. Who, like, saw Rock and Roll Mike and said he's an inside guy?
What makes you think that he was?
He's an inside guy. Oh, he was inside. He sounded like he was inside. But, like, who saw him and went, like, yeah, he should be inside? Rock and Roll Mike belongs to the streets.
Well, we know that. He's even told us, you know.
Rock and Roll Mike lives outside!
He does.
It's as if anyone needed that pointer.
But it's just,
thank you, Mike.
But he does remind me of a feral cat. Like letting a feral cat, like into your house. Yeah. Like, they don't want to be in your house. They
Rock and Roll Mike needs to hunt.
Well,
you know,
he needs to be outside.
When he was in studio, he went from zero to 10 to zero.
Yeah, yeah.
To 10.
He can tucker it out, and then he would hit a little peak.
But it was kind of scary because it was like playing that perfection game when you were a kid where you would turn the dial and you didn't know when the pieces were going to pop.
Well, right.
Just sitting there, and he would just get all tired and all like this, and all of a sudden,
so Nick Kroll is obsessed with raccoons, and so he has all these videos he puts on Instagram of like families that have raccoons in the house, like eating and like hanging out with kids. And like at any point, that thing could just lose its mind and kill you.
Sure.
Or not kill you, but
just
kill
attack
a kid.
You.
I mean, it could at any point, that thing could erupt.
Yeah.
And it reminds me a lot of Rock and Roll Mike. Like if you let Rock and Roll Mike inside.
Yeah.
Like you might have like, you know, 5 hours of Rock and Roll Mike, you know, whatever. But eventually, that could click. Something could click and you're in bad trouble.
If for some reason, some years down the road now, when I guess that everybody is going to be A-okay just to wander around these halls again, if we ever had him back, I'm thinking we would just have to have his own remote studio that we would just keep him in.
Yeah.
You know, so it wouldn't be like Tornado Rock and Roll Mike coming in here.
If he comes back... In that studio, Nixon, we have to have like a 3-piece drum set and a guitar plugged into an amp.
Just let him have his own recording studio.
Yes, and give him like an hour to just create.
Sure.
just create and have someone who knows how to like work that stuff.
Some sort of like super cool keyboard where he can sample his own voice.
Yeah, like just let him in, it, like that Get Back documentary. Like the Beatles in that soundstage. Doing the Let It Be album. Just get,
right.
So that's the plan. Because, I mean, whatever happens, I mean, people are going to have to be let in this building again. I mean, they can't just for the rest of our lives say no. So whenever that does, because but in fairness, he has had his booster. But when that can happen, I definitely, that's on my bucket list of things, is to have a, like a reasonable, like just a kick drum, a snare, and a hi-hat. And then a, because if you gave them cymbals, they're getting crashed all over the place. There's no doing the show.
All he would do was hit the cymbals.
Yeah, you just hit the cymbals.
Or just like a clown horn. Just pick that thing up.
No, and give him a guitar and just go, you in the keyboard, Rich is right, like a Casio, like SK-1 keyboard.
Sure.
And just let him create. Just go, here's an album.
Jamming on the one.
He can do the jamming on the one there.
It, what if he just like came out with a masterpiece and you're like, Rock and Roll Mike, that's all you needed.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, when we come back, there is some news going on with the Bruins. If you like selling away players for pennies on the dollar, this is the team for you. We will have that for you. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is the home of the Bruins and the Celtics.
It is nothing but a thrill a minute.
These guys,
oh, my Lord, what could come next?
Dutcher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We are the Dutcher and Rich radio program, and John already let the cat out of the bag, but there is expected news, both expected, coming out of the Boston Bruins.
But not welcome. A lackluster season for the Bruins just got worse. They're hit in the gut with two punches yesterday. The first one, a three-game suspension for the one guy this team can't afford to lose right now, Brad Marchand. His slew foot of Oliver Ekman-Larsson during Sunday's game against Canucks earned him one of them sleek explanation videos at NHL.com with the cool sound at the end that goes, so you know it's serious. But Marchand, he wasn't penalized at the time, and Larsson wasn't hurt, but the play, clearly dirty. And with his track record of six previous suspensions, including another one for slew footing, this really shouldn't be a surprise. And then there was the writing on the wall when on Sunday, Bruce Cassidy said this about Jake DeBrusk before making him a healthy scratch.
Any 20-goal scorer still only scores once every four games, right? If playing every game, so you still need the other things. So a little bit more of an ask there on, you know, second effort away from the puck, working to keep it out of your net, et cetera. You know, we understand certain guys can be physical when they're not scoring or bring something. And for him, it's foot speed. And I'd like to see that every night. I'd like to see him impact the game with his foot speed every night in some way, shape, or form, whether it's forecheck, attacking the net, penalty kill, whatever the case may be. So that's kind of where we're at. And we're starting to see that drop off again. So it's a reminder, hey, bring us the effort and hopefully the production happens.
It was like saying, I just need something, anything. Just show me any aspect of your game that's worth keeping you on the ice.
Yeah, him and Cassidy don't get along.
No.
I was just going to say, it doesn't sound like DeBrusk reacts well to being criticized.
Well, he hasn't.
Well, so, I mean, they've got, obviously, a history. On top of that, I mean, you remember at the end of last year when he was benched at the end of the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, Cassidy, like, came out and said that he didn't even speak to him. He said it wasn't even worth speaking to him at the time. It wasn't until later on that they were able to, I think with the term that Cassidy used, was find common ground in trying to, you know, get him to get back to what he used to be. But now Cam Neely himself confirmed to TSN and The Athletic that DeBrusk has requested a trade. And as Flutish and Zawa pointed out, for the team to make this open to the world means that both sides truly want this relationship over with. He's in the second year of that two-year $7.35 million contract, and this year he's earning almost $5 million in salary, and what you've gotten for that money is 6 points in 17 games so far. And, you know, last year he had a 14-point season. Obviously, things didn't go well, and we know that he had issues with all the COVID restrictions. without anybody really coming out and saying it, it sounds like he just had a bad mental time dealing with all of that. But yeah, as you said, the relationship between Cassidy and him have been deteriorating for a while. So think of the guys who are supposed to be the Bruins scorers of the future when you go down. And I saw, I think it was Kevin Paul DuPont, like, went through like the list of them, and he wrote, you know, like DeBrusque, Heinen, Bjork, Donato, all these guys were supposed to be the scorers of the future for this team. And now you take a look at where that's all panned out. And obviously,
well, that draft is just a bust. I mean, Sweeney just, they had six picks in the first two rounds or five picks?
They had three in a row. 13, 14.
No, I know. And then they had two in the second round, I believe.
So you got Carlo in 15. So he's
no,
a good one.
You did not get Carlo in the first round.
No, you got Carlo in the second round.
You got Zboril in the first round.
Oh, okay. All right. So Carlo was second round that year, though, right?
This year, anyway.
Okay.
Hasn't been bad.
Yeah, hasn't been bad. That's what you want out of a three first round picks.
We're learning to crawl before we walk here. I mean, I understand. The first round was a massive bust. Massive bust.
Yeah. So they had three first round picks in a row. They couldn't move them. They couldn't find anything to do, so they took all three. I remember where I was. I was in Detroit.
They wanted to get up, jump up, and I think it was Cam Fowler that year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and by the way, there was talent, you know, after those guys were taken in the draft, too.
Yeah, you had Zboril at 13, DeBrusque at 14, and Zach Sinishin, who at last look, I believe, was a third line right wing for Providence. So,
look at who the Islanders took with the next pick.
Oh, Barzal.
Yeah.
On 16. Yes.
So
he's pretty good.
Yeah. So, I mean,
he's giving the Bruins a little bit of a hard time.
Carlo is in the second round with Jakob Forsbacka Carlson and Jeremy Lauzon.
Yeah. Okay. So they did have six picks in the first two rounds.
Yes.
And they came out with Carlo. They came out with.
And they got Carlo.
A number two pairing defenseman.
Yeah.
You had six swings at it.
Vladar was the draft pick in the third round.
So I wonder if you blame Sweeney for whiffing on those picks or there's a player development issue. And Cassidy was the coach at the time in Providence. So I wonder if you could blame player development or if you blame Sweeney for just whiffing on these guys. It's hard to imagine that you take six guys and really one guy pans out.
Don't you totally see DeBrusque going to another team and lighting it up? I just can totally see that happening.
I thought that with VC. I thought that with other guys, too.
What a whiff. Remember all the press around VC?
The VC sweepstakes.
Remember that? Yep. He's a third-line wing. Wherever he's gone, that's the best he's ever done.
Right.
It's amazing.
Part of me thinks that DeBrusque could have some success, and part of me just thinks that he's like another VC. He's just a kid that's just never going to have it.
Regardless, he's never going to do it here. You could hold on to him. Fine. You give him playing time, whatever, 15, 16 minutes of playing time a game.
How many
goals? He's never going to be here.
How many points did he have? It was 18. That was his big year, right? 18, 19?
He had 27 goals his second year.
Okay. All right. There you go.
And then he dropped to 17 or 18 the next year, and then the last two seasons have been.
I don't know how you're going to get any kind of value for a guy who everyone knows wants off the team.
You're not going to get any value. You'll get a third-round pick.
Well, it was weird what Fluto was saying yesterday in his article where he talked about any kind of money that you get back. He said that money should be used to sign Tuukka Rask because Tuukka Rask has been skating as well. And, I mean,
so you can carry three goaltenders.
I was about to say, you got three goaltenders here?
I don't know. The Bruins
sounds like someone has a relationship with Tuukka Rask.
Or he knows something that, you know.
No, it sounds more to me like someone has a relationship with Tuukka Rask and is at the rink early when Tuukka Rask is practicing and is talking to Tuukka Rask people. Tuukka Rask, very charming young man. And a likable guy.
You don't think that the Bruins an inkling to possibly re-sign him?
Sure, I think it's a possibility. But I think when Fluto says you can take that money and get a third goaltender, when you're a team that's, you know, very mediocre.
And you need to spend that somewhere else right now.
Yeah, I think that reeks of like, hey, I really like this guy. Maybe I'll give him a little public nudge.
This season for the Bruins seems like, I don't know how you would compare it. After the first big three of the Celtics, you're on the backside. You know they're never going to compete for a cup again. I mean, this is one of those times where you begin to slowly pivot and look forward and not back.
Why we talked before the season about the trade, and I can't wait to get Jaffe in here. Oh, I'm sorry, I won't be here. Damn. But when we talked about what you do with the trade deadline. And I think what you do at the trade deadline is you sell.
So if this is like last year's Celtics or the last year of the big three,
this is like 1990, 90, 89, 90, 91.
Are you saying package Patrice Bergeron and Brad Marchand and get yourself the future?
You're not to trade Bergeron.
I don't think you'll ever trade Bergeron.
No, I didn't think they were going to trade Pierce.
But he wouldn't go anyway.
I mean, if that's what you're saying, that this is the end of it. And
I trade Marchand. Why wouldn't I?
I mean, if it means rebuilding and getting your future the way that the Celtics did, and they, you know, were able to get Tatum and Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart with all those picks.
Because, I mean, you'd get a haul for I mean, oh boy, would you get a lot for Marchand. Yeah,
you'd get what the Nets basically gave the Celtics if you package those guys together.
So, I mean, I would trade Marchand. And I would
you
build
might
around,
have to.
And I would
sucks.
Build around Pastrnak and McAvoy and Swayman.
Yeah. And but as it stands right now, if you do nothing and just let these guys get old, Bergeron retires after this season, and, you know, Marchand is 32, 33.
Bergeron, by the way, who's playing very well.
Yes,
he is.
He is.
Yep, he's having a good year statistically.
But it's bricks into the Grand Canyon at this point.
No, I understand. And
he's also having to do too much right now.
Yeah, it's unfair to him. I would, I would trade Marchand. Maybe Bergeron retires at the end of the year. But, I mean, you need a haul. You need some sort of, I mean, we know what this roster is going to look like
just
when these guys age out.
Just no young forwards. I mean, Studnicka is the guy. And he's down in Providence, relearning everything.
By the way, know by now if he was anything.
One of our listeners makes a good point. So Cassidy had 1 year with the 15 class because he took over here in 16. That's when Claude left.
Okay.
So Cassidy developed Grizzlick, Marchand, and Krug.
Okay.
During that time. So I mean, obviously that's a nice little crew. He was
all right.
Able to
well, then
there,
there's
so.
A problem now with player development. There's a problem with recognizing talent at an amateur level.
Either that or drafting. Right. Like one
well,
of
that's
the two.
What I,
you're right.
That's what
yeah.
I'm saying is that there's either a problem with recognizing amateur talent or developing the talent. There's probably an issue with both. I mean, you would think that if you have six pieces of clay to work with, I mean, it's not like there's like it's like DeBrusk is talented, whatever. But that's one kid. Maybe he just lost it. But I mean, DeBrusk lost it so much he won't even do the show because it's not, it has nothing to do with us. It's just he doesn't want to talk publicly because he knew all this was going to happen. They knew going into the season this was going to happen.
There was I don't know if Fluta was insinuating in his article. I'm sure you guys read the same one that I did, that him being next to Krejci was detrimental to him because his game was going up. I thought the opposite.
All right.
I think having him next to Krejci was almost like you've got no excuse to not perform.
I don't know. Maybe Krejci wasn't fast enough. What do I don't know.
I just think if you've got a guy like that and you're coming into the league and you've got someone like Krejci centering your line, and by the way, Krejci, you know, over the last like 3 or 4 years, he was, by all intents and purposes, very good.
Oh boy, did they scrub this offseason. Because then you move Marchand and then you're stuck with these bozos. Foligno coming up at 9 o'clock. You're stuck with these bozos, these old slow bozos. All over the place. I mean, what were they doing? I mean, there's just no plan.
Well, I mean, John, now that you mentioned...
Third round pick.
Well, now that you mentioned, you know, the whole Celtics scenario, it does get you
Doesn't
thinking.
It seem like
it
that,
does.
Though?
It does.
It
it's
seems
a great
like
comparison.
You had a great run, a great core. All of these guys have been together for 10 years, and here we are. Where it seems like we've gone over the peak of the mountain, we're on the back end, and how fast they pick up speed towards the bottom depends on what you do right now.
Yes, and I would...
Wow, and you knew that team just couldn't win a championship. It was like they were at the end of it, and you're looking at this team now. I don't think there's anybody in the right mind who could look at the Bruins and think, you know what, they'll get their stuff together and they'll be able to win something.
You look at Bird, McCarroll, and Parrish in 89, 90, and 91, and it was fun here, but you knew they couldn't win.
So Marchand probably gets you a first-round pick, an elite prospect, and a very good pro, a very good NHLer. I mean, you would get a ton.
Yeah, I would think you would get multiple first-round picks and a young player.
Well, or
Marchand?
John, it's 6-1, half dozen the other. I mean, an elite prospect and a number one pick, or if you want two number one picks and then an NHLer, fine. I'd rather have the elite prospect than the number one pick, but if you would rather have two first-round picks, that's fine with me, too. I'd rather have a kid that's proved a little bit in the minors, but it's six of one, half dozen the other. You can have your. I'll give you your scenario.
I appreciate it.
And thank you for correcting me. Basically the exact same scenario. Yeah,
and maybe
exactly.
I don't know what your problem is.
What would you get to a contender if you traded? I know this is most likely his last year until you know he decides he wants to resign. But if you were to trade Patrice Bergeron at the trade deadline to a contender, what do you think?
It's not going to happen.
Well, first of all,
why don't you think so?
I don't think
why
because he doesn't want to go. The PR hit would be unbelievably bad.
But what if he knows that this team's not winning anything and it's his last shot to win?
Bork specifically asked out before they sent him. Send him somewhere. Bergeron, and I agree with Fred, I don't think Bergeron wants to go.
No. And what would you get for him? I don't know. For 3 months of Patrice Bergeron? I don't know. Second round pick? Not a ton. I mean, even if you got a first-round pick, you would be going to a contender, so maybe you get, like, a very late first-round pick that you could whiff on.
Yeah.
So, no, I don't think they're trading Bergeron. I don't think that would go over well. I mean, would you go to a game if they traded Bergeron?
No.
Well, I mean, that's what happened with the Celtics.
Yeah, but I don't know. Marchand is the guy that you could trade and get an incredible amount for, an older player that you could get a ton for. Marchand's who to be focusing on. He's the guy, but he would have to agree to it too.
Yeah, it sucks.
And I don't think he'd want to go.
What are you going to do?
And it would also probably speed up Bergeron's desire to retire if they traded Marchand as well. All right. Teddy Johnson, who thought great things of this Patriots team before the season, and here they are now fulfilling those things. We'll talk to him in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.